Welcome into the Hog Show presented by the Rehab Sports Guys. We're on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We are normally live, but this week we had to pre-record because of my work schedule. But we'll be back to live next week, live on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm here with David. What's up, Boo?
What's up, guy?
How you been, brother?
Yeah, man, just working. Trying to have a little time to clear my head this weekend between 4th of July and a couple extra days off other than that.
Yeah, definitely want to give a shout out to American soldiers. We are very thankful for everything we do. I know it's not exactly an American soldier holiday, but it is a celebration of America, so I would like to say thank you, especially to our soldier buddy, Jesse
and
James, and co-host on Rehab Sports Guys, and he will get on this show with us occasionally. I would just like to say thank you. Love you, my brother. Talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're going to get into a little bit of everything. If you follow us on Twitter, you actually might hear your quoted tweet said on the show today.
Absolutely.
We're going to get into a little Razorback of the Year.
Yep.
We normally do Hog of the Week, but since it's kind of the end of the year as far as sports goes and we're turning the page on to 2018.
Yep.
I think it's a good time to do Hog of the Year, Razorback of the Year, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because for me, I always start the Razorback sports calendar with football.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as baseball season's over, it's time to turn the page.
Yeah.
Because
sports calendar starts at football for me.
I mean, it's almost like a school year. Think about it that way. Once baseball's over the end of that year and you start the next year, you kind of think about it like that. I got a lot of different names. Like, I thought this was going to be kind of a runaway.
Right.
But when you get to looking at it, it's really not.
I mean, it's a runaway if you just do one from each sport, I guess. But
yeah,
except for baseball, you can take your pick with baseball.
Yeah, you can. I have four on this sheet right now between Shaddy, Knight, Martin, and Kerstad. And you can probably pick some others in there. Cronin.
Yep.
Gates, Cole, whoever you want to name.
Right.
And then, I mean, the softball team literally went
to the second
hosted
round.
Their first regional ever. Goes to the first super regional in a long time. I don't even have a stat in front of me, but we all knew the stat goes back that Oklahoma destroys Arkansas. We knew. I mean, let's be real.
We knew what was coming.
We knew what was coming.
But hey, it's all about taking steps to get to that next level. You don't get there. Not many teams get there off of their jump from being out of the tournament to winning the whole thing.
I mean,
baby steps.
Nobody ever talked about Arkansas softball. I mean, I want to give a big round of applause. Oh, right here. Maria Fossey. When we talked to Peter Burns from ESPN earlier this year, which y'all can go look that up, go to 12 on Sports Radio / Rehab Sports Guys and look at our Peter Burns interview that me and David had. And we will have him on later during football season. We'll get him hooked up on with us. Good guy. I like the guy a lot. Like things he
says.
He's
a funny dude. If you if you follow him on Twitter, he was actually doing these tweets and stuff during the World Cup. And I guess he was doing it at some like coffee bar or something somewhere. And then he had a video of him like watching the World Cup, and then he was like panning the video out behind him, and there was like a whole like street of people just like behind him in the window. So watching the game from outside, it was pretty funny.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. Him and Spears on Sundays, I love it. I enjoy it a lot. It's best week ever.
Yep.
He has some out there takes just to be funny, but I like him. Good follow on Twitter. You should go do that right now. He'll be on the show later this year. But when he told us about Maria Fossey, I was like, "What's this guy talking about golf for?" Like, let's be real, it's called golf. But she balled.
She's good.
She's really, really good. Like, I looked it up. She's really good. I mean, let's not overlook these girls between them, the basketball team. Was pretty good.
The basketball team, the girls' basketball team, is probably the weakest of any of them.
Yeah, but really. They're in the right direction, in my opinion.
Well, they'll get there.
So they're not on the list yet. They're not, because they're not quite there yet.
Oh no! Their coach was only in his first year last year.
Yeah, so he's in the right direction. So.
Which, by the way, on a side note, in his second season on the Hill, he's gotten a girl that was a former 5-star recruit for TCU to transfer.
I know. That was a big get, in my opinion.
Sure, and she'll have to sit out a year, but
Speaking of recruiting, we will have a recruiting discussion later on why or why not social media is a necessary evil when it comes to recruiting. Because mm-hmm. I find myself on both sides of the fence. You'll understand when I get there later. But back to the Hog of the Year. Kerstad and Martin. Freshman All-Americans. Or at least were on the list. I think Kerstad was the only one that made it. But they both had, like, I think they combined for, like, 28 home runs and over 100 RBIs. Like, stupid stuff for freshmen.
Then you have a couple of our pitchers that are freshmen this year.
Yeah, Ramage. He was good this year.
We talked about it last week. We return a lot of...
Yeah.
A lot of experience coming back in these next couple of years.
Yeah. But I'm kind of trying to keep this player driven. Also on the baseball team is our heart and soul, in my opinion, and Carson Shaddy. Through and through Arkansas Razorback, him and
Blaine Knight,
and then also behind the plate and Coke have been... They're both Fayetteville kids, so...
Blaine's from...
Not Blaine. I'm talking about Blaine. I was talking about Cook.
Cook, yeah.
Behind the plate. Which I saw on Twitter that today was the first time ever that they ever faced each other in a game.
That's crazy.
Because they've been teammates since they were 15.
Right.
So...
Makes sense.
They faced each other in minor league, which, hey, that's up and up. I see... I never realized how quick the turnaround from into your college career and right into... Single A, because within like 2 weeks, Carson Shaddy was starting at second base.
Yep,
I was like, crap. Talk about playing baseball year round.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's the nature of the beast.
We don't want to miss out on our boys Macon and Barford. They balled out. I mean, they didn't. I know somebody said on Twitter they didn't even win the NCAA tournament game, but they both played their butts off.
Absolutely.
They deserve to be mentioned. I'll put it that way.
We're going to miss those two.
Oh, my goodness. Are we going to miss them? Hopefully, they can make an NBA roster.
So far, we've got Macon that I've heard doing a little bit down with the Heat in the Summer League games. But other than that, I hadn't heard nothing from Barford yet.
Yeah, Macon got hot. He had like 8 points.
I think that very first game that he played in. Yeah, with the Heat, he had like 11 assists.
Yeah, he was doing everything. But we're going to get back to the task at hand, which is choosing who our Razorback of the Year was. I think my top three would have to be Knight, Shaddy, and Kerstad. Just because the baseball team played for a national championship.
Oh, for sure.
I know a lot of people brought up the track and field, but on this show our expertise is the three major sports, so I can't name someone the Hog of the Year if I never really watched them.
Sure.
Like, we watch football, basketball, and baseball,
and some softball,
and the pitcher for the softball team was a freshman. Let me list these stats. 45 games, 31 starts, 213 innings pitched, 29 wins in those 31 starts, 249 strikeouts. Her ERA, 1.51. Her Ks per 7 innings, which is kind of like baseball, they do capering on.
Mm-hmm.
8.2. K's per walk, 5.7. She was shutting it down all year long.
And she won't basically pitch her own ass into the NCAA tournament second round.
Yes.
She pitched like two complete, I think if I'm not mistaken, she pitched two complete games back to back and didn't give up a single run. Yeah, I might be stretching it there, but I think that's what I remember. That girl was pitching her hind parts off.
Yeah, but I think, I can't speak for David, but I know my pick is Blaine Knight.
Oh, absolutely. I think my number one is Blaine Knight. Easy.
But not just the stats, but if I put it out on our Twitter page.
14-0.
The fact that he pitched the game of his life in the championship series in game one.
14-0.
Oh, yeah. But let me finish. Is when you go from pitching the game of your life in game one of the national championship series, and you walk up in the crowd and give everybody hugs and talk to everybody, take pictures, sign autographs, and I'm just like, that's a guy I could put stock in. As far as, I am proud to say that he's an Arkansas Razorback.
Oh, absolutely.
Not that I'm saying anybody else is not any less proud, is what I'm saying. Is like, he just does everything he's supposed to do. 14-0, 2.8 ERA.
Beat everybody that was put in front of him.
I mean, everybody. There was at least...
Casey Mize beat him.
Both the Florida pitchers.
Both Brady Singer beat him. Sean Jelly from Kentucky beat him. Jackson Kowar from Florida beat him.
He was always thrown up against the best pitcher.
Nick Kingham from Texas beat him. 14-0, people. The guy didn't lose to anybody.
Not a soul.
Zero. In the whole country. He went undefeated against the SEC.
That's crazy.
The SEC. The conference of champions in baseball, basically. He didn't lose. He beat the number one player in the draft. Twice.
Twice, people. Twice. So, I mean... Blaine did it. 102.
How much more does a guy need to do?
And
I mean,
exactly.
Come on.
And I'm happy for him. He got to sign his big fat
I'm
check.
I'm sorry. It's highway robbery to me that he did not go in the first two rounds.
I agree. But he got paid still.
That's insane to me. How a guy can go 14-0 in a season and be an hour and a half away from not even getting signed.
How 30 teams didn't pick him twice, and then some of them didn't pick him a third time is...
Beyond me.
It would be different if he goes 14-0 in some...
Right.
Like, American or something. But yeah. He went 14-0 in the SEC.
Yeah.
And beating Texas on top of that.
Yeah, and he knocked out Florida, too. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, and he beat... Supposedly the best pitcher in all of college baseball. And
that guy.
Yeah, that guy. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to. But the guy that nobody signs because of his history. Mm-hmm. But dude is 27-3 in the last 2 years, and Blaine Knight beat him. So I can just keep naming names after names after names.
Blaine, it won't matter.
I will put it this way. We will miss Blaine Knight.
Oh, absolutely. He's arguably going to go down as the best pitcher of all time at Arkansas.
Oh, without a doubt, in my mind.
Except for maybe Cliff Lee.
Oh, well, that's true.
He's probably the only one that can contest that.
Well, that's funny.
Well,
where's Cliff Lee from?
Yeah, Bryant, same city.
No, he went to Benton.
Did he?
He went to Benton.
Okay, Benton. Well, Benton, hey, Bryant,
it's the area. Hey, Benton, Bryant, that rivalry.
Salt County.
Salt County. You'll the Salt Bowl. You'll go down as having the two best pitchers to ever come to the state of Arkansas.
That's freaking insane.
Literally within 5 miles of each other have the two.
Can we maybe start recruiting Benton and Bryant players a little bit more, Coach?
Maybe you should start doing that, Dave.
I'm just saying.
Hey, but we're consensus that Knight is our
absolute
play of the year.
I mean, any time I hear Blaine Knight's name from now till the end of time, I'm gonna refer to him as Icon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Somebody on it to keep your eye on.
No, I'm just dead serious. I'm just gonna start referring to Blaine as Icon. Like, but I can't even wrap my mind around what he pulled off this year. That's just mind numbing. But you said yours were Knight, who, and who again?
My top three were Knight, Kerstad, and Shaddy.
Okay. I'm going to go with Knight number one for me, but I'm going to go with my number two, which was the dominant one that you just brought up her stats, and I'm going to go with Mary Half from the softball team.
Can't argue that point.
And my third one, I'm going to go with Kerstad. I've not seen a freshman play like that in my life, ever.
No.
The things he was doing to start the year, oh my God.
He's solely responsible for why we got out of the regional. Like, do you not remember? Because without him robbing that home run, we end up having to go to a winner-take-all game in the regional. And the way we pitched, I don't know if our pitching would be set up. Because then that would be a fourth game in like 5 days. And you're like, well, who are you going to pitch? Because you can't pitch Blaine Knight. So that's the tricky thing about the regional. If you can get in 3-0 and get out, that's great. But if not, then you're kind of set back. Because who are you going to throw out there?
It's funny because just last year, I was having this same kind of conversation about Dominic Fletcher. I was like, man, I have not seen a freshman play like Dom has. Then the next year, he blows him away. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, well, never mind.
I mean, Dom played it. Hey, that's another name. Dom played his butt off this year, but
he struggled a little this year. He had his ups and downs, but whenever it mattered most, right before the finals, he clicked.
Yep.
He clicked right when it mattered most. But
he was hitting them Dom bombs.
But when the finals got here, it just didn't matter. We were out of it.
Yeah, nobody hit well in that. We're not going to dwell on that. We're talking about the upsides of all the seasons. All right, now coach of the year.
Dave Van Horn.
For sure, but my number two has to go to the softball coach.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Courtney Dyfel coached her butt off. And again, Peter Burns warned us about this.
Yes.
And I'm in shock. Like, never hosted a regional. And not only host, win the regional and go to the super regional for the first time in years. So, hands off to her. She's got Arkansas softball on the map. Our Arkansas softball. Like, I joke and tell people this is a baseball school. Right now, hey, it kind of is.
You want to hear something funny?
What was that?
At full capacity, our softball stadium was drawing more than the national champions in baseball's home stadium.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
And but, when we hosted our regional, we were getting like 7,000 plus for the softball games. Oregon State softball, Oregon State's baseball
4,500 or something.
Oregon State's baseball team averages less than that.
That's crazy.
Won the national championship.
Yeah, that's bonkers to me. And the fact that during our super regional, we hit like 89,000 fans.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That's stupid, bro.
Top five. I'm sorry. I won't even say top five. I'll say top three. We have a top three baseball fan base in the entire country.
I will say any fan base, really, because I'll put up. Because Arkansas fans are so starving for a winner, it's ridiculous. Hey, anything hog related, we're all over it, I promise.
If it's the main sports. We don't fool with gymnastics the hockey team and the track and field. We respect them for what they do. We want them to do well, don't get me wrong, but we don't follow.
No. I'll watch gymnastics if it's on because of my daughter.
Yeah.
But as far as anything else goes, if you're a golf fan at all, keep up with the last name Fosse.
I'm going to have to start trying to watch a little bit of golf.
Because Peter Burns even said that she outdrives the men on the PGA Tour. keep bringing up Peter Burns, but he gave you some really, really good insight. You got to check out that interview. Go over to 12OunceSportsRadio.com and go to our exclusive shows tab and go to our Rehab Sports Guys page, and it's on there. I think it was June 14th.
So ironic. My buddy Tyler Welch.
I saw that.
He just commented a while ago, Mary have to.
Oh, yeah. She pitched her butt off. Hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're on 12OunceSportsRadio.com.
Yes, sir.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Hog Show presented by Rehab Sports Guys on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. 12 Ounce Sports Radio is brought to you by Tia. Go to 12OunceSportsRadio.com, and if that's where you're listening right now, scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page and click off the Tea Off app and get 50% off your tea time purchase. It's Ian. We're back on the Hog Show, and I'm here with David, of course, and we're about to get into some recruiting questions, a little bit of just basically all football talk.
Let's get it.
I put a question on Twitter about is social media good or bad for recruiting? And let me find the results. Why I'm looking this up, what is your opinion?
My opinion is just kind of the same as yours. It's a necessary evil, because the way that you connect most with kids these days is social media. So, that's just...
They're all
just
on there.
The nature of the beast. So, but at the same time, as much as it is a necessary evil to get to them, you kind of have to deal with the crazies because of the same thing. So, I mean, I lean more to the fact that it's a good thing than a bad thing, because there's going to be crazies in every fan base that does stupid shit that's going to put... Matter of fact, that's the exact reason why we lost a recruit to North Carolina about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because there was some crazy idiot that whenever their kid was on a recruiting trip to Fayetteville, he went up to his table and started harassing him and talking all kinds of crazy shit. And then ran him off and got him all and didn't make him not want any part of us. So, I mean, there's gonna be weird situations like that anyway. So, I mean, it's been like that since the beginning of time. It's just that social media, it gives somebody a voice that didn't have a voice before.
Yeah. And y'all voted 3-1, 75% to 25% no. I'm on the fence, though. Like, yes and no, but sometimes it can be, like you say, it can be a bad thing. But the best quote is from our radio station producer, Jeff Beck, when he said, it's a necessary evil, which it is. It is a necessary evil because... like us, that's where all the kids are. They're all on social media, and that's the way. And I think that's why Coach Morris is going to be successful at Arkansas, is because he plays it up.
Yes, they're on that. They're all over social media, but let me just tell you, something tells me there's going to be a funny feeling about that team that whenever they finally do get in there and the season starts, he's going to go basically... LeBron mode, and
nobody on nothing,
none, zero.
And that's the way I think it should be. And Arkansas baseball was different. After game two, they were all on Twitter like, "Hey, we got one more game. We got one more game." Mm-hmm. I mean, that's cool and all. That shows that we know your head's there. But I still think that during season, athletes shouldn't be on social media. Shoot, there was NFL players that get on there and tweet in halftime.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think with Chad, he's going to be okay with whatever, as long as you don't do anything stupid.
As long as you don't make the university look bad.
During the week. But whenever game day, zero dark 30.
I think the last day you should do anything social media-wise should be Thursday.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm saying... on game day. I think, yeah, like,
for sure, absolutely.
I think Fridays and Saturday, like Friday before the game and game day, I think he's going to be zero dark 30. It's like none.
I think that's the way it should be.
Now, I'm not saying that's how it will be, but I just have a funny feeling that that's what's going to happen.
I mean, that's the way a lot of coaches are, where they don't want
to. I mean,
look
at Saban. You think Saban puts up with that?
Nope.
And there's a reason why he's successful. His players don't do stupid stuff online. Now, do they do stupid stuff outside of football? Yes. But there's only so much you can control in your own house.
Yeah. Hog note that I just seen. Daryl Macon put up 17 points in his summer league with the Heat. And also, UCA star put in his... Another Arkansas school put in... I'll just nugget out there. Played well in that game, too. So, I just wanted to put that out there. But, I mean, we can beat this drum about recruiting. But, I mean,
what we're going to be doing.
It's where we see it.
Here's my thing. Well, here's where I lay as far as the recruits go. I don't harass the recruits. Like, if they get an offer or something once in a while, I'll just, like, most of the time I just favorite and retweet and go on.
Yeah,
sometimes I'll just be like, would love to have you.
Just positive stuff.
Like, would love to have you, or just send a gift or something with a Razorback video, like a Razorback gift or something related. It's like, yeah, I'll just leave this here or something like that. I don't bash the kids. I don't say anything bad about the kids. If they don't pick us, they don't pick us. I'm done with it. Like, and if it's somebody that, say, did commit to us and then flipped, block. Don't deal with it. I don't even deal with it. Just block. Don't even say a word. Just block it. So I don't have to see them pop up on my timeline again.
I hear you on that one. That's where it comes into play about Monk. Is
that one was different for me. That's the the Malik Monk thing was the one that festered.
Let me finish. I think that Arkansas fans should not hate him just because he went to Kentucky. That part they shouldn't hate him
for.
That's
not the reason.
But the aftermath after that, everything after that's fair game. But some of these fans are like, "Oh, he went against us. He went to Kentucky." If you use that excuse, I have problems.
No, that's not the reason.
No, not you. But I'm saying, if I hear an Arkansas fan go, "Oh, he went to Kentucky. Screw that dude." No, stop. He's a kid. He made a decision. But his decisions after that is where I have a problem.
Here's my personal take on that situation. It wasn't so much the fact that he went to Kentucky. If it had just been a quiet recruiting process, and it had just been between us or Kentucky, and he just went to Kentucky and played, and never made a big scene, never caused all this drama, I wouldn't have anything against him. But he went and drug us through the mud, made a big ass scene, you know, made it all about him. Then he goes and does the throat slashing stuff when he gets there and talking crap and all this. Like, no. That's where I draw the line.
But
like,
I do have
not disrespect the team that I root for.
But
like,
I do
that's
have
a different. There's a difference between not being picked and being disrespected. Recruits will come and go. I'm not gonna be hung up over guys for just not picking us.
Which guys are gonna pick us? I'm not gonna remember their names.
Like, I don't even like get mad about the ones that committed to us and then flipped to somebody else. Like I said, if they flip to somebody else, block. I don't even have nothing else to do with them.
They're kids. They can make their
like it's your decision.
Yeah,
it's
you can make that decision. But the problem I have was when he was playing in state tournament games in Arkansas. There's people going up to the games and in the stands going, "Trade or trade." That's where I have to draw the line. He's a kid. You can't. That's why some of the stuff.
He brought that upon himself, though.
But we also brought it upon ourselves by acting that way. He retaliated. Now, do I agree with the retaliation? No. But he was driven to retaliate.
It is what it is.
He is a high school kid.
Was.
When this all occurred, he is a high school kid, and we've got grown men attacking a 17-year-old kid. This is before any of that happened. He was still playing ball. And there's people traveling from all, not just the town he was playing against, all over the state just to boo and antagonize him.
He spit in our face. What do you expect? He spit in the face of an entire fan base by drawing up drama. It wasn't the fact, like I said, it wasn't the fact that he picked Kentucky. It could have been Kentucky, it could have been Duke, it could have been Kansas. It wouldn't have mattered where he went. It's the fact of how he went about it. That's why people call him a snake. That's why people call him a traitor. It's not because he didn't pick us. It's because when he didn't pick us, he made a big scene about it. Like, no. People don't like that. People don't respect that. Like, you lost the respect of everybody that's rooted for you for years just because of the way you handled yourself. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not mine or anybody else's decision to make. And in all honesty, at first, I really don't think it had even as much to do with him as much as it was his brother.
Which all of that is fair game. His brother's all fair game.
His brother's definitely a snake. He sold us out. His brother, a former Razorback alum, sells us out to Kentucky just to better his brand. Like, who does that? I mean, I'm sorry. I have nothing for the Monks at all. At all. They can, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't want him back in the state.
Exactly, recruiting. I was just kind of using an example because I don't have any other example. But to the fans that
KJ Hill would have been the second closest to that, I think.
Yeah, when he went to, I wasn't even mad. I'm like, all right, go do what you want to do. Like, I'm not mad at you, but there were still probably people on Twitter.
I was never mad at the kid.
He's making a decision. He did it the correct way.
Oh, it wasn't him. That was 100% his family. KJ wanted to be a Hog. KJ Hill wanted to be a Hog. It was his parents and stepdad, his mom and his stepdad that caused that.
What's it?
By taking money from Urban Meyer. Everybody knows they took money from Urban Meyer. It's commonplace to know that. It's like, oh, you don't have any proof of that. We know.
He was committed
to Arkansas for a year and a half, and then all of a sudden now right before signing day, it's a thing. Like 2 months before or less before signing day, now he decides to flip. Something smells fishy to me. Sorry.
Regardless if it's money or if it's just based on prestige, I'm not gonna accuse him. I don't know, but I will tell you this: when it comes down to it, if I'm not. Like, I would choose Arkansas, that's just because it's in my blood. Like, that's what I want. But if you think about it, it's Arkansas or Ohio State. If you name anybody that's not tied to either two one of those schools, which school are they choosing?
I don't know, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, but no matter why he made the decision, you can't knock the kid. And I see it on Twitter way too much, and it's annoying. You know what I mean? Like, you...
Yeah.
Now, that being said, the Monk situation is completely a non-traditional decision, in my opinion. But there's quite a bit. Like, there was even, I don't know what athlete it was, had Texas Tech and Arkansas as one of his top five. And one Tech fan was like, if you want to be a run-blocking receiver, you'll go to Arkansas. I'm like, are you stupid? Do you not know our new offense? And first off, the fact that you're a fan on Twitter telling a recruit not to go to another school because of something you don't even know about,
yeah,
is stupid.
That's the part where you give a voice to people that don't need a voice.
Exactly. My thing is,
but then there's also the avenue where it gives people a voice that deserve to have a voice.
In my opinion, you should get on there, Hawk fans, and be like, "Woo Pixie, come to the Hill. We'd love to have you." La la la, all those things. Don't get on there and be like, "F LSU, don't go to LSU," or "F Bama, come to Arkansas." Don't, y'all don't do that. That's right. Very descending looking to tell that to a high school kid. Remember, these kids are kids, all right? So this goes into my next thing. How do you feel about people posting top 25 and top 50s and stuff like that?
I cut my cutoff is top 10.
I agree. I mean, I'm okay with top 25.
Let me say it
this
way. Let me say it this way. The point where you start posting about it, to me, is a top 10. But let me just say, you do what you do, kids, because you earned the right to be able to.
I agree.
To what's the word I'm looking for? You've earned your right to be able to express your excitement over where your career is going.
You know whose fault this is? ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the public announcements during the Under Armour. That started this whole drama. Which, I'm cool with it because it helps these smaller schools get some of these smaller guys that you don't normally know about because they got these huddles. Is it huddle
AG? Yeah, huddle accounts, yeah.
So these fans get to know these guys and get to talk to them, and then they get to actually know the fans beforehand.
There's been several.
Can make decisions based on how the fans treat them.
I can speak personally for the fact that I don't really do it anymore because I was, quote, in my own words, semi-recruiting several years ago.
I remember.
But I can speak personally that I talked to 2 to 3 guys that are on the Hill right now playing at Arkansas, personally. I've talked to them multiple times.
Uh-huh.
And they're very personable, very good kids. Deion Edwards, Alexi Jean-Baptiste, and there was one other guy that I talked to, and I remember very distinctly telling Alexi, I said, "Keep your head down.
I remember that.
Keep out of trouble. Keep working hard, and it'll come. It'll come. It'll come. Just keep working." What do you know? Not 6 months later, Arkansas comes.
Shoot, there's a kid on Twitter that hit us up in our DMs about recruitment and sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think posting pictures of athletes wearing the uniforms, that wasn't a thing until recently.
Right.
And definitely wasn't a thing.
I actually think that's kind of cool to be.
It definitely wasn't a thing in Arkansas until Chad Morris showed up.
Right. That our graphics and design team is all out of this freaking world right now.
But I was the type of person, even when I played Road to Glory, about to go on a video game talk, but sometimes I would get bored of playing with Arkansas, so you would pick whatever uniforms you like the best. There's kids out there that are basing their decisions partly on the uniform.
And that leads me to another talk altogether. Arkansas fans that harp on, well, that's not tradition. Our tradition isn't anthracite, or our tradition isn't.
Oh, isn't, my God, yes.
Blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on, man. You think Oregon's tradition is to wear freaking silver and yellow? Like, come on.
Yeah. Like, my thing.
It's called getting the eye of a new generation. You have to have new ways of doing things. Don't nobody want to wear. Let me go on my rant real quick. Don't nobody want to wear some old ass 1990s looking jersey with an ugly ass outdated slobbering hog logo on the freaking side of the helmet. Just being honest, people, nobody wants to see that.
Occasionally, like one game every once in a while, you can go with the tradition.
Now, if you want to do like we did a couple years ago, like an Alabama game where you do like a 1964 throwback jersey, or like throwback uniform or something, I can, that's fine. One game. But you have to have...
Gotta be different.
You got to be able to change things up.
They get... These kids get bored.
And they you don't generate any excitement. What kid, what 18-year-old kid is going to want to walk out there every week dressed in a uniform that looks like they're playing in the 80s?
I agree.
Like none. No, nobody. Nobody's going to want to do that. Whether they love the state of Arkansas or love this program or not, they're not going to want to do that. It's just a simple fact. Kids care about how they look.
Yeah, and just like some of these fans that aren't Cowboys fans that hate the Cowboy-inspired uniforms.
I loved it. I hate the Cowboys. Amazing.
I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. The only Razorback game I've ever been to has been in Cowboy Stadium against A&M. I think those are the uniforms, either white or that color red, and those helmets should be worn every time you play A&M in Dallas. It just should be.
I think it should be our alternate, to be honest with you.
No, that's too much. I think that should just be that game.
I mean, you see it. I mean, you see that a lot of teams like Oregon, they don't. They have alternate, like 100 different alternates that they'll use from time to time, but they won't use them a lot.
They have like 20 different versions of jerseys. That's just base. And then you can mix the yellow tops, the orange pants, the silver helmet. Like, their mix and match is, like you said, well over 100.
You know how many times...
That's why a lot of kids go to Oregon.
You want to know how many times have they mixed and matched at Arkansas?
Never.
Hardly ever. They ran with those ugly-ass black cleats forever. They had them one game. They let the players under Bielema let them run with those white cleats. One game.
Those are clean. Those all whites with all white shoes so clean.
When they let them run with white cleats, they lost the one game they played in them, and he said never again, and he put them right back on the shelf and made them wear black cleats the rest of the time.
But, I mean, you got the inside. You got the all whites. I would like an all black.
Yeah. We have that. It's that anthracite. That's basically what it is. Yeah. It's like that charcoal black.
Yeah. But I'm talking about like a straight up blackout where it's all black with like a red number, red name.
Can you imagine a blackout in Arkansas in the freaking Arkansas heat in the middle of the summer? Oh, God. God, that would be ungodly.
Oh, my God. That would be terrible, bro. But, I mean, like we say about Twitter, it's where the kids are. These uniforms, it's what the kids want to wear. Just like Coach Moore said, it's not what I want to wear. It's what these guys want to wear. And it sounds like he's going to let them make the decision on what they wear. And I 1,000% love it. I can't hit the 100 emoji enough when I first saw it when he said the jersey decision is going to be based on what they want
to
wear.
Yes. So, get it through your head, people. We're trying to impress kids, not freaking old-ass adults that don't matter. Like, you matter, but you don't matter. Like, if you get what I'm saying.
I mean, it's all about the kids.
Read what you just showed me.
Which one? The top one?
Whatever.
That's what I was showing you.
Okay.
Hold on, I can't give a fuck about.
But yes, it's what the kids are appealed to. It's not about what appeals to the eye of the people watching.
All right.
Because the people watching are going to watch regardless of what they wear either way.
You know who drives me nuts the most on Twitter? Coach Stepp. This is what he said. Quote, I'm quoting. Got to talk to both my boys tonight. Love these two. Nothing like family. Eventually, you can't fake that. Bomb Squad 19. Whoopie Xui. Who are you talking about, Coach? Why don't you just go ahead and say it? I know he can't because of NCAA regulations, but it would be nice if he would just come out and be like, I'm talking about blah, 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 blah.
You can't do that, though.
I know. I wish he could, though. You
straight up cannot do that.
Oh, I know. I wish he could, though.
Right.
Hey, if you want to find out where they're at, follow all the coaches. They'll tell you. They'll tell you where they're at.
Yep.
I swear they're hot on that trail.
They basically tell you with location where they're at without saying who they're after. And if you just do a little bit of research, you'll know.
Yeah.
And
that kind of goes into my next thing about all these recruits.
Yeah.
Just got a second generation hog signed this week.
Yep.
Mr. Williams is going to ball. He's going to be a beast. Another four-star recruit that Bielema wouldn't have got. He might have, but all these defensive superstars, I'm not going to say superstars, all these defensive possibly studs are coming for two reasons. Can you think of one of them?
One of them rhymes with John Chavis.
Yeah, one of them does, because... One of them
rhymes with John Chavis. The other one rhymes with NFL.
Yeah, there you go. How many players he put in the NFL? Y'all can say he's washed up and that his defense have given up a lot of points, which are all true statements, but he puts your butt in the NFL. Am I correct?
All I need to hear, all you need to say, his last two stops, and you want to talk about NFL, Adrian Peterson, Von Miller, end of discussion.
I mean, you're missing another number one overall pick.
You're talking about the best corner and the best linebacker in the game, just right off the top. It's like, okay, what else more do you need?
Adrian Peterson.
Peterson?
You said Adrian.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know who I'm
talking about.
Patrick Peterson.
But corner, I know what you meant when you said, hey, don't even forget that boy in Cleveland. I cannot remember his name to save my life right now.
Miles Garrett.
Also coached by Chavis.
Yep.
So there's three picks right there that should sell defensive recruits. Am I wrong?
Oh, for sure.
Even if his stats don't want to make some of you fans happy, I guarantee you when you start seeing these four or five stars coming, you will be happy, especially now that we have another defensive recruit that's got us in his top three. And Enoch Jackson Jr., I hope I said your name right. But here are some others that have actually committed. TQ Jackson. Mike Woods is already on campus. I think he'll be a stud. KJ Jefferson.
That's our quarterback of the future, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. Carl Williams.
He's going to be our next again.
Games would be. Oh my. And we also got the number two rated defensive end in JUCO to play with a game. Oh my God, they're so good together.
That T-line's going to be filthy.
Shoot, the running back core.
Yep.
Chase Hayden is going to be a beast in this offense, hands down.
Then you got
Devall Whaley.
And then you got T.J. Hammons, who's your third running back who could arguably be a number two scat back running back for any other team in the country.
Yeah, and then you've got the number four rated running back in JUCO coming in too?
Yeah, Raheem Boyd, former A&M product.
Like, we're going to be stacked at the running back position.
Oh, but, and we didn't even speak on Malik Williams, who's been there for like 2 years already and been waiting.
So,
I'm not worried about the running back position. That's one thing that Chad Morris and Brett Bielema did do well and will do well as
recruit
running
backs. That's what Chad Morris did inherit. What he didn't inherit was a quarterback room and a
offensive
line room. So, that kind of goes to my next question. We got an offensive line, so some corners.
My thing is,
is Ramirez going back?
Santos is the same.
Thank God. I love Santos.
And Ryan Pooley's coming back. And we got Cam Curl coming back as a sophomore.
Curl played his butt off this year.
Chevin Callaway will probably play this year.
Yeah. Look out for the Hunter boy. He's going to give it all heart. He might not be as athletic.
Hayden Henry? Or are you talking about Grant Morgan?
I'm talking about the middle one that plays linebacker.
Yeah, it's Hayden.
No, Hayden's the one that's in high school still.
No. The tight end that we're right now that's in high school is Hudson.
Hudson, that's right.
Yeah.
My bad. They're all H's.
Their names mixed up because there's so many H's.
But the Henry that's on campus right now will play with nothing but heart.
He's going to get some good rotation snaps, I would think.
Yeah.
Him and Grant Morgan. they'll probably both get some good snaps. Get some decent amount of snaps.
Let's not forget we got Dijon Harris coming back too.
Yeah, he's going to be probably arguably the best middle linebacker in the country this year.
Yeah, alright.
And we got Drake Greenlaw coming back.
Drake Greenlaw is a beast too. Alright, here it is. I said, which position group on offense worries you the most? I had offensive line, wide receiver, tight end, running backs, quarterback. Number one was offensive line at 73%.
Right.
Quarterbacks at 22%. Wide receivers, tight ends at 5%. Mm-hmm. Nobody voted for running backs.
Because it's our strongest position. Other than maybe receiver.
Receiver's just young, but I think they'll be okay. I'm not worried.
Not really that young. Just, think about it. We got Jerry Cornelius, who's a senior.
Oh, yeah. We got
Jonathan Nance, who's a senior. We got Jordan Jones coming back as a sophomore.
And he has experience, though.
We got TJ Hammonds coming back as a junior, who's basically going to be a slot receiver.
You can rotate Hayden over there, too.
He's going to be more of a running back, though.
He's going to catch a lot of balls.
He's going to be a running back that can catch out of the backfield, but he's not going to be a receiver, though.
No, but it helps in the passing game.
Right.
But it all boils down to is what that offensive line can do.
Since we're talking recruiting a little, it's not even so much the guys that we have gotten, but the guys that we have gotten put on the map with lately. Like you said, we have that Enoch Jackson kid out of Mansfield that put us in his top three with Clemson and Texas Tech. Just today, Sunday, we're recording the night
Sunday
before.
Sunday night, yeah, sorry about that.
We had a player from Austin, Texas, in the heart of Longhorn country.
That's crazy.
Elijah Higgins put us in his top seven with Auburn, Florida, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Stanford, and the hometown, Texas Longhorns.
Listen to all those names.
Let's see here. We have... Let me keep scrolling. 3 days ago, we had a quarterback / defensive back from Newton, Texas, put us in his top five with Utah, Houston, Baylor, TCU, and us. And that's Joshua Foster. And that... Oh, there's the other one. And then we had one more from Texas. Four-star running back from... somewhere. Eagles something. I can't remember where. But Darwin Barlow had us in his top schools with Baylor, Nebraska, LSU, Minnesota, Oklahoma State, Missouri, TCU, Stanford, and Houston.
We're getting up there with all these big schools, people. Stay tuned.
Correct me. My correction. Nebraska, Louisville, Houston, Baylor, Oklahoma State, LSU, TCU, Minnesota, and Missouri.
This just gets me. I cannot wait to see some of these guys, some of this talent get on the field. Like, it's all fun. It's fun to talk about recruiting, yes, but until they put on a Hog uniform, you really, really can't tell. And that's why I'm so excited is I'm really looking forward to seeing this offense. Like, just look at Clemson.
Absolutely.
Like, that Clemson's offense is what you should expect.
And there was one more within the last few days, too, that put us in his top five. A kid named Torian Carter, the second, with Michigan State, Texas Tech, TCU, and Texas. So, people, I mean, like I've said before, you have to give this coaching staff time, but I promise you, these guys are getting the job done out there. They're getting in the ears of people who we've never been in the ears of.
Yep.
We're getting in the houses of people we were never in the houses of. And we're getting our name out there like we haven't since Petrino's been here.
And then some of these recruits, like TQ Jackson, KJ Jefferson, Mike Woods, they're all recruiting for the coaches. Because the kids, there's no rule against
Connor
the kids.
Connor Nolan last year.
Yeah. The kids, it's not illegal for the kids to contact the other kids because they know each other.
Definitely.
So, that helps a lot too. That's why I think another reason why I think social media is a necessary evil is it helps too.
Absolutely, it helps. It helps in a big, big way for not only the coaches, but it helps the players connect with each other.
Yeah.
That's how you can develop relationships with your future teammates before you even get on campus.
Absolutely. And recruiting for baseball goes with Connor Nolan too. And we just got another kid out of West Memphis coming to play baseball. So that's another good thing about social media is I personally absolutely wouldn't know anything about some of these kids coming in. And I could just get on social media, get on a Huddle account, and just watch.
Right.
I think some of you fans should do that. If you want to find out about a kid, get on there. They have their huddles. They put them on their Twitter pages.
Yes. Most of these kids now, they'll have some form of highlight tape one way or another, whether it's their current or last year or some year of their tape, or even if it's certain, just like certain game highlights. Go watch it. Don't use that lame cop-out excuse of, oh, they're just a 2-star. Oh, they're just a 3-star. There's more players in the NFL that were former 3-stars than there were 4- and 5-stars.
Yeah, sometimes the 4- and 5-stars are blown up because of location, because they're in a big market.
Yeah, or they go to a big team like Alabama.
True.
Because it's the same way in basketball. Whenever a kid commits to Kentucky, they jump. When a kid commits to Alabama, they jump. Their recruiting ranking jumps.
Yep.
It's just the way it happens.
People are like, what are we missing?
What are we missing is the fact that we're not Alabama, for one.
No, I meant like when they say sign a 3-star early, it's like, okay, what are we missing of this guy? Let's relook at this. And that's how they kind of might get overvalued. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. It's been a good hog show.
Sure has.
If you're listening to this live on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, make sure you tune in tomorrow for Rehab Sports Guys. Be me by myself. Well?
No, it won't. I'll be here.
No, you won't.
I won't.
You work Monday night?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I got to record it Monday night because I'm working during the time of the airing at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 Central. Tune in. 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Got some great content. Our boy Jimmy just started a new post NASCAR race show. Check those out on Sundays. Also, Wednesdays, check out Jimmy's normal show with his boy Chris. What's up, sports? Also, Wednesday after What's Up Sports, check out Scout Team Radio. They're really good. They also have Loudbeard on Mondays before us. He's really good, too. Check it out. 12onsportsradio.com. Peace out. This has been the Hog Show presented by Rehab Sports Guys.